Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series Suggestions for Reading and Studying the Bible Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org. Subject of this audio History Told by the Unique Father of All Sons and Daughters Chapter 1 Introduction to the Importance of an Appropriate Relationship of the Generations with the Scriptures Information One of the characteristics of the contemporary society, or also called modern society, is the high value that many people give to information, knowledge, facts, records, and many other data that are dumped daily on Earth through an increasing number of channels that make them available. On the other hand, that is, in spite of the growing appeal of present-day societies for information, it seems to us that the number of people among the multitudes who intend to make a more judicious assessment of this enormous body of knowledge has not increased, proportionally, to the number of individuals who propagate the need for access to all newly sprouted information in the world. Questions related to the real origins of some particular information, like what caused it to appear, how true is it, what is the actual importance of it, or what are the purposes of each set of information, are aspects that do not always accompany the speed with which many contents are thrown to the crowds. Nevertheless, is the strong call for new information and the questions of fragile inquiries by the crowds actually linked only to modern societies? Did not the earlier generations also encounter similar aspects, but with a different rhythm depending on the technologies of their particular period in human history? It is interesting to note in history that virtually all generations have a habit of describing themselves as modern or contemporary societies. What is also admirable, however, is that they will only be modern and contemporary to themselves, for already in the next generation, they will be considered ancient, and the new modern and contemporary generations will pass to carry this title. So, returning to the desire of modern societies for new information, with an apparent contrast to ancient societies, one can see in history that the same behavior, in reality, was already present in the ancient Greece. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, was faced with a situation that could perfectly fit today's standards, where many people of antiquity also believed that they could not live without the latest news, according to the narrative below. Acts 17:16-21. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Just as many people in contemporary times devote a huge portion of their lives to the latest news of the world, the lives of the Athenians of ancient Greece also revolved around listening to this kind of information. And not only this, even the foreigners who went to reside in Athens adopted the local custom. We see, then, that this habit is not something so unusual and that only is present in modern society. Moreover, another very impressive point in this story narrated in the book of Acts is the answer given by Paul to the curious Athenians, as follows. Acts 17:22-31. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. It is very absorbing to note that Paul's response to the Athenians eager for news, as well as to the foreigners living there, brought up some information, in part, remarkably ancient. Part of the novelty that Paul brought to the people who heard him was information already available on earth since the beginning of the creation of humankind, showing that novelty is not always contained in the recent information or in the projection of something for the future. The information necessary for contemporary society, in many cases, is not in something recent, but it is precisely in the remote and distant past that, by many people, has been improperly discarded over the years. Often the information or the response that is sought so hard in the so-called latest news is at some previous point in history and that stopped to be passed on for the reason of oblivion, contempt, because it was intentionally omitted, or yet, for the reason that people, improperly, have considered it without credit merely because it is ancient. When modern societies tend to regard any information as outdated just because it is ancient, they are at risk to think that there is no value to be considered in the past information. Moreover, with this kind of thinking, they also would be saying that their own information that they, in their turn, will pass on to the future, equally would soon be meaningless and worthless. Therefore, it is crucial to have a sober understanding that there is, in fact, ancient information that is vital and will always remain up to date, just as there is modern information that is notably futile and unreal. The question of the value of information, of knowledge, is not necessarily related to the time or period that it became known or whether it is ancient or modern, but how durable, substantial, and reliable it is even after years and centuries. Furthermore, yet another aspect that is possible to observe in the story in reference and narrated in the Book of Acts of the Apostles is the reaction of the people eager for news regarding the information they received from Paul, as follows. Acts 17:32-34. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Looking back at the above text, Paul's response to his listeners, again leads us to a new question, namely, are the so-called modern societies, despite the eagerness to hear the latest news, actually interested or prepared to deal with the information they receive? For in the account of the experience lived by Paul, the people who heard the same news exposed to them had several different reactions to the announced content. It is interesting to note that while Paul was talking about a set of ancient information on the so-named, by the Greek people, as the unknown God, and informed them that this God was the God who created heaven and the earth, people kept paying attention to his speech. However, when precisely those who were eager for fresh news heard something that was absolutely new for them, something unusual at all, like that God had resurrected from the dead a man whom he appointed, many turned away exactly from what was actually new on earth. If the mentioned individuals were indeed so eager for novelties, should not the theme of the resurrection be the hot spot that would fuel their conversation and interest? However, on the contrary, it can be noted in the referred text, that exactly what they sought so eagerly, also was what made many of them withdraw from the presence of Paul's speech. Therefore, another aspect that we also want to emphasize here, for a more fruitful study of the Bible, is that this task of approaching the scriptures might be significantly affected by the kind of disposition that the reader or student has toward history, the records of history, and principally the ancient Bible, but also regarding of the disposition to be confronted by aspects that, although ancient, might contradict the reader's personal knowledge or beliefs. If a reader or student of the Bible, although the records of it are very ancient, does not see these contents as containing renewed information, that are not outdated, and that remain relevant and, even, fundamental to its readers and for all life in the present day as to the future, but only want to relate to them as mere records of facts of antiquity. This same reader or student may be putting up great barriers that prevent him or her from seeing that also in the ancient information there might be precise instructions for help and guidance to be able to reach the novelty of life that one so longs for. The so-called scriptures or the contents of the Bible are not fleeting as the human being on earth, who is so modern in his or her days, but soon also becomes another ancient person of tomorrow. The scriptures have a foundation and a credibility that is not volatile over the centuries and generations, because their support is in him who does not grow old and whose words cross or exceed times and ages, not being as the last news of humans that so quickly are suppressed by the following ones also denominated of recent news. That said, we would like to point out that one of the objectives of the various subjects in this series, named Suggestions for Reading and Studying the Bible, aims to expose a set of considerations about some essential aspects that the Bible itself presents about how to relate to its writings. Moreover, as another objective, and perhaps even with more priority, these same subjects are also presented as tools for help in order that the scriptures themselves serve as an instrument to awaken, in the readers or listeners, the disposition to realize that there are instructions in the Bible that are not limited to mere literary information of the past or temporary news. And yet, also so that through the scriptures people may be guided to a living, real, and deeper use of what is announced by God to them in the contents of the Holy Bible. Many teachers, schools, and educational centers seek to prepare suitable environments and situations to hold the appropriate listeners' attention since they assume that a prior preparation is beneficial or even necessary for a better sharing of what they want to communicate. Similarly, the benefit of the reading and studying the Bible often also depends greatly on how one prepares oneself for this goal, but that, otherwise, may be lost or not expressive when the readers or students are not prepared or do not prepare themselves for this task. Several aspects of the inappropriate understanding of the scriptures also lie in the fact that many have not had the disposition worked out for this task or have not surrounded themselves with relevant information from the Bible itself about how to relate to such rich and expressive contents described therein. For this reason, once more, we would like to inform that the goal of contributing and inspiring people to more structured readings and studies on the Christian life is one of the main reasons why the series Suggestions for Reading and Studying the Bible has been created and made available.